Well, hello, I'm Luis Hernandez. You're listening to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. Thanks so much for joining us. Governor Rick Scott announced that lawmakers are going back to Tallahassee for a special session to try and hammer out the final points of this year's budget. Actually, he made the announcement about an hour and a half ago at Miami International Airport. The governor agreed to sign the budget and the controversial House Public Education Plan. But in this upcoming special session, there will be debate over increased funding for Enterprise Florida and Visit Florida, two programs the governor pushes very hard, and also they're going to have to tackle medical marijuana. The three-day special session is tentatively scheduled for June 7th through the 9th. But can lawmakers really get to these issues in just 3 days? Well, joining us now is Kristen Clark, state government reporter for the Miami Herald, and Nick Evans, reporter for WFSU News in Tallahassee. Kristen, Nick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Anytime.
Kristen, real quickly, the governor said he's going to go ahead and sign this budget and sign this controversial House education bill. One of the reporters at the press conference actually asked, why did it take so long?
Well, there's been obviously a lot of movement behind the scenes, as we've now seen for the last month, and it's been at the highest levels of the legislature between Speaker Corcoran and President Negron and then Governor Scott's office. We've talked to a lot of lawmakers kind of rank and file today who had no idea this was going on. Even some committee chairmen who you would think would be involved in some of these negotiations had no idea what was going on until this morning. So this really came at the highest level, and it seemed, you know, necessary to reach a compromise that everybody was happy with. But the question remains, why couldn't they have done this a month ago during the regular session? We don't know.
Well, you know what, Nick, that's interesting that a lot of people in Tallahassee didn't even know this press conference was happening. Some of us just found out this morning. And that's kind of been really the vibe of this session, at least
part
the end
of the course, right?
Yeah, well, the end of this session, because there was a lot of backroom deals going on and trying to get this budget plan to the governor. I mean, but is this normal?
Well, no, it's not. typically, there is much more of a. And granted, like not like a completely open and transparent process, perhaps, but the level to which lawmakers hashed out deals behind closed doors this year was, you know, not normal at all. Astounding, really.
Kristen Clark, the governor said he's going to sign the House Education Plan. Now, they also want to add at least another $200 million to K-12 public education this year. A lot of people in education, superintendents, superintendent here in Miami, Alberto Cavallo, came out and said, do not sign this. This is a bad deal for us. But really, why did the governor go ahead and agree to this? And what are the ramifications?
Well, let me take a step back, because technically, as we saw during the press conference a little bit ago, he is not committing to signing this bill just yet. So we've got some mixed messaging going on here, where even Speaker Corcoran told us this morning, you know, that apparently it's the House Bill 7069, that it's not part of this deal. Governor Scott says he's still, quote-unquote, reviewing it, which is his kind of standard talking point until he's ready to announce a decision on anything. But we're hearing the opposite from Republicans in the Senate who say, no, we are under the understanding that he will sign it. So the expectation is he will sign it. It seems he will, but for whatever reason, he's not saying that verbally yet, and House Republicans, for whom this would be a huge victory, are not committing to that just yet. So we're not totally sure what exactly is going on behind the scenes. But in terms of what that would mean if it's signed, it's a huge win for charter schools, frankly. And that's what has traditional public school advocates so upset, is they feel this will diminish the public education system that our country has. In favor of these school choice opportunities, which, you know, have their pros and cons, but the biggest qualm that some advocates have against them is that the money goes to private operators, and that it's not under the purview of a school district that manages, you know, most of the schools in the state. So, you know, there's going to be more heated contention over that until there's actually a final decision.
So, Nick Evans, is that par for the course, that the governor is going to say, well, I support it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to sign it yet?
Well, in comparison to how things have worked out this session, it's not all that surprising. I mean, especially towards the end, we saw a series of trades, and it's from the outside looking in, it seems like that HB 7069 is being sort of held in limbo, and the governor is saying, well, you know, if you want to give me this increase to the FEFP, the Florida Education Finance Program, well, then I'll think about your charter school initiative.
You know what, Kristen Clark, I wonder if the governor's just waiting, he's still reviewing this, is it really a matter of, hey, look, go back to the special session and increase that funding for my Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida, and then I'll sign this?
Yeah, I think that's entirely possible what's happening here, because I was trying to get confirmation this morning on, you know, when is the governor even going to get 7069, because it's not even now on his desk. And there is no timeline, at least not a public timeline that they can share at this point for when that's going to happen. So I think it's entirely possible that the House holds on to that until after, you know, June 9th when the special session is over, and if the governor gets what he wants, then he'll sign it. But I honestly don't know.
Nick Evans, 3 days, special session. They're going to try to tackle all of this in 3 days. I laugh a little bit, but realistically, really?
Well, I was sort of thinking about this today. I mean, like, 3 days, 3 hours, 3 minutes, it doesn't matter. Like, the deal has been struck to a certain extent. I mean, if they really didn't care about appearances, they could basically come in here, you know, just throw the typical process aside, gavel in, gavel out, and get this thing done. They will spend 3 days. They will hold committee hearings. There will be complaints by people in the minority, perhaps even complaints from some on the in the GOP because of how shrouded in secrecy this whole thing has been. But, you know, they are going to get it done. I mean, the thing is, it sort of already is done.
All right, Kristen Clark, the other thing, too, they have to tackle is medical marijuana. Or is that also about maybe possibly another special session just for that?
That remains unclear at this point, because actually that is not part of the proclamation that the governor issued. So we're kind of left wondering, okay, well, what about that? Because that is the one thing kind of that voters demanded, and you know, they do, and they didn't get that done during session. So that, of anything, aside from the budget, is something that you would think they would accomplish. But I believe it's by a two-thirds majority, if I'm not mistaken. They can expand the call of this proclamation and include medical marijuana. So that's one option they have. But whether that will happen, we're still kind of waiting to see.
Now, any chance that it would? Have we seen we've seen some lawmakers writing letters. They want to start that process. Nick Evans.
I think it's likely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, really, it can't be stressed enough how surprising it is that they haven't included medical marijuana in this call. I mean, like, since session adjourned, there have been calls from people in the legislature, in the process, you know, advocates, activists saying, we need a special session to get this squared away. And here they are calling a special session for Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida, two things that I don't think I've heard anybody complain about. I mean, that there's a whole host of major, you know, big ticket items that weren't addressed in the regular session: workers' comp, assignment of benefits, the commercial lease tax, Florida Forever. But instead of addressing any of those issues, they're dealing with two of the governor's biggest priorities.
All right, let's finish.
It's really surprising.
Let's finish on this. Who loses on this the most? And we consider the fact that the governor may not be running for Senate. He's thinking of his political aspirations, what other politicians, what they're going to gain from this, obviously what the voters win or lose. But really, depending on what happens over the next couple of weeks, really, who's the big winner, the big loser here? Nick?
Oof, I really couldn't tell you. I mean, the biggest thing that I'm surprised about is there are whispers that Senator Rob Bradley, who's been one of the biggest proponents of medical marijuana in the Senate, is being sort of shunted to the side, and they're going to give incoming Majority Leader Wilton Simpson a greater role in negotiating. I haven't been able to confirm that, but if that's the case, then it seems like, you know, not only has his big, you know, important issue been sort of set aside, but he's being set aside. So that's not great for somebody who has been working on this issue for, gosh, 4 years now.
Yeah. And Kristen Clark, same question to you. Really, the winners and losers on this?
I think if under the deal, you know, we're seeing kind of struck this morning, if this goes through as is, the winners are easily Richard Corcoran and Rick Scott, because they get their top priorities and they get their, you know, their pet projects and their babies that they've advocated for months. But at the expense of that, I would say in terms of, you know, the loser column, you could say for traditional public school advocates, it's a mix. Because, yes, they're getting a a sort of a win here with the extra funding, which they wanted. It might not be as much as they originally wanted, like what Scott even wanted, but it's certainly more than what the legislature approved. But the loss for them is still if this 7069 gets signed, because especially for school districts, that's going to force them to share their capital, their local capital tax revenue with charter schools. So that's less money they're going to have to deal with backlogs of you know, dilapidated buildings that are kind of run down because they've been there for decades. So that's their concern still if that gets signed. It's easily the money aspect of that.
It'll keep us busy for at least the next few weeks. Kristen Clark, state government reporter for the Miami Herald, joining us from Tallahassee. Also, Nick Evans, reporter for WFSU News in Tallahassee. Kristen, Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anytime.
All right, still to come, what happened with the World Out Games? Did Miami Beach take too big of a risk to pull off this prestigious event? We'd like to hear from you. 800-743-WLRN. That's 800-743-9576. We're going to talk about that coming right up.